everybody. Grab a Bible and a pencil and a journal and maybe even a cup of coffee and join in on our conversation. But first, I would like for you to write this down. John 17, verses 9 through 11. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Hey everyone, welcome to Write This Down with Dot Bowen. My name is Kara. I am Dot's daughter, and every week we sit down together and we talk through truth and scripture, and we are talking about one of my mom's favorite chapters, and it is the High Priest Prayer. And it really shows us this intimate conversation that Jesus has through prayer with the Lord. So I want to say, if there's any question that pops into your mind while we're talking about this episode today, we would love to know. And if there's ever any questions, we would love to know. But you can send them to hello@dotbowen.com. And we would love to use it. We can address it in a future episode to bring clarity and understanding to the conversation. Or if there's just something that you are wondering about with scripture in general, we always would love for you to join in our conversation in that way. So for now, we'd love for you to pull up a chair and join in this conversation.
Hey, Kara.
Hey, Mom. I don't know if this is right, but I always think about you when I think of John 17, and I say I don't know if it's right because I know it's not like Jesus's prayer, but I always think of you when I think of John 17 because I know you love it.
I do love it. I do love it. I love it so much. I guess it's probably one of my go-tos when I am kind of down. And I think sometimes when I feel like...
I would not think that as a chapter to go to if I was feeling down.
Really?
It's not a right or wrong. I'm just saying like that right. That's interesting to me that this is a chapter you go to.
It really is. When there is something I'm wondering that I'm struggling with, I go to Genesis 3.
I know. We have not talked about Genesis 3 in a long time.
I know. But when I'm struggling with something, trying to figure out what I've done wrong or, you know, what's my issue here, I usually, you know, really go to Genesis 3. But when I'm lonely and feel forsaken or feel unloved or don't feel like I'm enough, I go to John 17.
Interesting. I love that.
Yeah. I think that it's something very special.
I mean, I don't love that you're feeling sad or lonely. I just mean.
No. And, you know, we all do. We all have those moments. And I would definitely want to encourage you and whoever else is in on this conversation to think about going in and really studying and thinking about John 17. But don't look at it as a chapter in the Bible. Look at it as, even though it is a chapter of the Bible. But look at it as the heart of Jesus and his heart and what he longs for and what he loves and who he loves. And, you know, I think it clearly talks about how much he loves us, because this is right before he goes to die. And that's why it's called the High Priest's Prayer.
Wait, why?
Because he's about to be the sacrifice. He's about to die. Mm. And so the high priest would always go into the holies of holies and offer a sacrifice for the atonement for the sins in Leviticus.
I've never thought about that in terms of why it's called the High Priest's Prayer. Mm-hmm. So it has to do with Leviticus?
It does.
Which is funny because we just talked about that. See, this is why the Old Testament is important.
That's why, right there. Mark it down. Write this down. But because, you know, in Deuteronomy or Exodus, you know, when they're out in the wilderness, they set up the tabernacle and they set up the holies of holies and the high priest would go up. And so Jesus is about to go up and he's about to be crucified and he is going to be our high priest. He's going to go and make atonement for our sins.
Yeah, like we don't need a high priest anymore because Jesus.
That's right. That's Hebrews. That's the whole book of Hebrews is what that means, is that we no longer need a high priest because Jesus is our high priest.
I feel like we need to bring context to that though, because that could be confusing. Because for those that don't know, in the Old Testament, like before Jesus came, the high priest, he was the only one who could go into the temple, who could go make a sacrifice before the Lord in the temple, correct? Like, and he's the only one that could go into the holies of holies and do that, right? But then when Jesus came and he had, he used the sacrifice and all that. And so we don't need a high priest anymore because he is the high priest, correct?
He is the high priest. That's correct. Yeah. And he was acting as our high priest in this chapter because he's praying and entering into the presence of God and interceding for us. We know that after Jesus dies, he goes and sits down at the right hand of the Father and intercedes now. That's what he's doing right now for us. But this is right before the cross.
I think it's an important point, though, because before Jesus, like, we couldn't just pray, right? Like, we couldn't go before the Lord, right?
We could pray, but we couldn't enter into his presence before Jesus. We could pray through prayer, but we couldn't literally enter into his presence because, remember, the tabernacle is where Jesus resigned. That's where God resigned. And so the high priest could only go, and he only went once a year for atonement of sin.
Right. But to pray is to go before the Father. And but you're saying in the Old Testament, you could pray, but you couldn't go into the... I know, but what's the difference? Because we can pray, but we're saying... Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. Well, they could pray, but they couldn't go in the presence of God.
So, like, how was prayer different
than sacrifice? Because prayer was just talking to God, where the high priest would go and offer a sacrifice. Jesus was about to go and offer a sacrifice himself for the atonement of our sins. The high priest would go into the holies of holies once a year and offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. So that's the high priest, and that was offering a sacrifice. So we're not just talking about just prayer. We're talking about the sacrifice for an atonement for our sins. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think I just always thought, and this is, I could have been wrong. I probably was wrong. I'm wrong. I think when I would like read through the Old Testament, I would see how in order to pray and to like go before the Lord, like you couldn't just do that because, you know, the high priest would be the one, or Moses could go before. But with Jesus, I felt like, so that's where I think I was just wrong. I misunderstood. Like in my head, I think I was thinking in the Old Testament, the only people who could go before in prayer or whatever was the high priest or whatever.
The Levites,
I wasn't thinking that. But anyone could pray. It just was a matter of you couldn't go into the holies of holies. You couldn't go into the presence of God. Whereas now it's kind of all in one, all for one. It's like we can pray, we can go before God.
But we're talking about two different things. There's a prayer, and then there's going in into God and offering a sacrifice for our sins. And that's what Jesus was about to do. Jesus was about to go in.
Right.
And be, and so the Israelites, they prayed all the time. The Jewish people, they prayed all the time. The priests prayed all the time. That it wasn't that they weren't praying. It's just that this was a time that they were using to go into the presence of God to offer a sacrifice and atonement for sin. And that's where the holies of holies, that's what that was about. And it was once a year or whatever, but they prayed all the time. Mm-hmm. But here, and now speaking of Jesus being the high priest, going in right before he goes to die, he goes and talks to God. And I think that one of the reasons of going back of why I feel like this is such a passage or just the words of Jesus, I feel like I'm eavesdropping a little bit on his intimate conversation with God. And what I'm surprised when I'm listening to Jesus pray, what he's praying about. And I think that for me, I just kind of set it up and think, oh my goodness, like if I knew that I was about to be, you know, nailed to a cross, I'd probably be praying I wouldn't feel the pain.
Yeah, like, could you not let this hurt very much?
Exactly. And I think that what's so sweet about this prayer is that Jesus' number one concern is the disciples that he, you know, gotten so close to, even though they were, you know, a mess. I mean, they never really understood what Jesus was doing, you know, even, you know, up to the cross. And so, but he's praying for them because he loved them. And then he adds, I think that that's what's so sweet. He adds us to this prayer list. So, you know, we always call people like, would you pray for me? And I think one of the sweetest things that you can do to love people is to pray for them and intercede for them. And I think that that's when I think about, you know, God's for me. And Jesus is very concerned about my well-being. Jesus is concerned about my heart. Jesus is concerned about, you know, who I am as his child. And I think it's just very sweet because he's now praying for me. And it says, and I also pray for the ones that will come to know me through your word. And that's me and you. So those things, we can know that Jesus first prays for himself. And we know that he prays for just his disciples. But for me personally, what makes it so sweet is kind of like by the way. And also, I'm not a by the way. It's not like I'm not important. I'm just saying he adds that. And I think that's very sweet.
I do think it's interesting because so many times we think of, well, because it says this, it's not like it's wrong, but we think, you know, when the disciples ask, how do we pray? And we have the Lord's Prayer. And that is so important to look at because that does show us so much of how to pray. But I think it's interesting if you were to look at the Lord's Prayer next to the high priest prayer, you see that, but it's not this, because I think sometimes we, as people, we take the Lord's Prayer and it's like, oh, we have to do it exactly like this. And that's not what he was saying. He was just saying, you know, like, go before him, give him your needs, like, express who he is, express, you know, tell him your heart.
What's your name?
What you need. Thank him for what he has given, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we really see that in the priestly prayer, or the high priest prayer, because he's doing that. But it's also showing that, like, there's not this, like, formula to prayer.
Absolutely. I think that when I think of the Lord's Prayer, that the model prayer they always talk about, and the studies that I've had on that, is usually in the context almost like an outline. And then to the high priest prayer in John 17, to me, that gives me a glimpse into the heart of God. That gives me in the motivation. That gives me what he's really, the desire of his heart.
Yeah, but I think it also shows us that we don't have to follow this formula. Like, we don't have to. It's just like, this is Jesus's heart, and like, prayer is giving God our heart. It's a conversation. Yeah. It's just talking to him. So I think that's right. What I'm saying is, I think the Lord's Prayer tends to look like, okay, here's like a step by step, but that's not what he was saying when he was, at least that's what it doesn't seem like he was saying when he tells them about the Lord's Prayer, you know, at whatever point in his ministry. But yeah, but we see this like intimacy.
Yeah. And I want to put this back into context here. Jesus is about to go to die. I mean, things aren't going to go well for the next, you know, couple hours. And I just think for me, there is just this model. You can pray it. You get, okay, I'm thinking about this is what I want. Okay, yeah, that's right. I'm going to acknowledge that you're God. And you just kind of do this. It's not like, it's nothing wrong with that. But there just comes a time in each of our lives where we're going to kind of sometimes just throw that out. It's what you're saying. It's kind of like throwing out the outline. And to me, it's like, I'm desperate. And I've got to just share my heart. And I may not do it. I may not even start out with our Father. I may just go, God, are you there? Like, I may just fall on my knees and weep a little bit. Maybe I don't even know what to say at the beginning. To me, that's what John 17 is. That is like Jesus just falling on his face and just saying, God, protect him. Like, I'm about to leave. Just, you know, and I love this because Jesus is saying, you know, we're just one. And I came to let them know about you. I came to tell them how much you love them. And I came to show them who the Father, I came to show you who you, I came to show these people who you are, and I'm about to leave. And so, God, I'm asking you to protect them from the world. And he said, I wish I could take them out of the world, but I can't. So I'm just praying that the world won't be in them, because Jesus knew that if we get a little bit of the world in us, it's not going to be good. I just think that, to me, I can almost cry thinking about it. I just think about how much he loves me and he cares. And right before he dies for me, he's just so concerned about how I'm going to do. How's this woman, how's this girl going to manage in this world? And I just think that that's where, I think that that's what's so important to me about John San Martín. It's why I think about, I just sometimes need to know that God loves me. Mm-hmm. I just need to know that God knows that it's hard to be in the world. And I think that's what this prayer says.
I think one of the things that I love about it is, it's verse 15. It says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. But what I hear when I read that is, and I think if we want to ask God to take us out of a situation that is hard or that we don't like, by all means, ask him. I know I have. Mm-hmm. But I think that shows that like sometimes it's not just being taken out of situations, but it's asking God to help us get through it. You know, because I think so many times, nine times out of 10, I'm asking that the situation stop or that I be, you know, like this would not be the situation anymore or whatever. And again, yes, keep praying that. But I think it also shows like another perspective of how we should even not only pray for others, you know, intercessory prayer, but also praying for ourselves. Like, help me to get through the situation, you know, like, and I mean, we do see that with Jesus. We see in the other gospels, he says, he asks God, if it be his will, that he would let this cup pass. But at the same time, he's also saying, you know, at least for us, he's saying, I'm not asking that you take them out of this, you know, evil world. I'm asking that you protect them and that you help them, basically help them get through, help them to, you know, continue on and to do your word or to do your will and, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that's, you know, that's something I have like starred in it from that prayer, because I think that's, I don't know, like sometimes we can feel like God has forsaken us in a situation because we're still in a situation, and that isn't always the case. Or it's never the case. He's never forsaken us. I just mean like it may just be that he is wanting to walk with you through it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things I just think about Jesus, you know, kind of thinking, I don't know what he's thinking, but in my mind, this is how I feel. And I guess, again, I go to this all the time and look at this. Is it, like you're saying, is it Jesus is like, you know, I'm not taken out of the world yet. Like, there's still time to stay here. Now, there's going to come a time. There's a new heaven, new earth. There's revelation. We know that eventually it's gonna happen. But right now, this isn't it. And I think that that's what you're talking about. Sometimes we want to like, I want out of this situation right now. I think that Jesus is interceding and saying, I know you're in the world. And I know that the evil one's there and you need to be careful. And I want them to know to be careful. But I'm about to go to the cross to provide the power for them to be strengthened in the very world that they wish they could get out of. In other words, like what you were saying, like sometimes God doesn't just allow us or take the situation away, but he allows us to go and he's with us through the whole thing. And I think that's literally what this verse is saying, is that his presence, just always know that his presence is there. And I think that that's basically, when you read all of chapter 17, it says, remember, you know, that they remember that I'm in you and I'm in them. Like, they're not alone. They're, you know, they're still in the world, but they're not alone. And that's when I was saying again about, you know, feeling forsaken sometimes. I think you have to take the entire chapter 17 to get all of that sweetness, that intimacy. I think it shows us how intimate Jesus was with God and how intimate he was with the disciples, and I think how intimate he wants to be with us. I think one of the things that Jesus says in that, Kara, you know, we talk about this a lot, about his presence. Like, you know, like, remember he's there. Remember his presence is there. And I think that that's exactly what Jesus is saying, that, you know, glorify me in them. Like, you've glorified me. Now, you know, I'm going to glorify them. In other words, my presence is going to be there. And it is about me being there in the midst of really hard times. And I just think that this just says a huge thing about the heart of God. I think it's just very, very sweet moment. I think we miss the intimacy that is in John 17. I think we're so caught up in like what he's saying. And, you know, I did a research paper on it, and you have to divide it all up. And first he prayed for himself and all that. But if we do it that way and we look at it that way, we're going to miss such intimacy. And I think that that's I think that that's one of the things missing at prayer, Kara, is feeling like I'm just got to be in the presence of God. I just need to go and talk to Him. And I think that's what, in my opinion, that's what Jesus was doing, is like, I've got to just go talk to God, because some things are about to happen. And, you know, there's a lot in there. I really would suggest and encourage you and whoever's in on this conversation to really spend some time in that. If you feel like you're alone, if you feel like God isn't aware of what's going on in your life, I think, you know, just really pray before you start to, you know, read that and ask God, say, let me see what's on your mind. Let me see the intimacy that you want with me and that you had with the Father, and that you want it all to be the same. You know, one of the sweet things about, as you look into this, that you'll see that Jesus is saying, you know, I'm one with the Father, but I'm one with you. And you know, we're all one in this. We're all together. And I think if you really seek the heart of God, not just what He's teaching, not, you know, how to do certain things. And a lot of times we take prayer like, am I saying it right? Am I doing the right things? Am I saying the right things? I just think that John 17 has taught me that it's been more about His heart and how that, you know, I was on His mind. And the things that He was concerned about me, I mean, wouldn't you, if you knew that you were, I know you don't want to hear this, but say that I was leaving this world and I was going to pray and this was going to be my last prayer for you, I most definitely would pray that prayer for you. Like, God, protect her. You know, I can't take her with me, but I know you want to. I think we're going to go right into heaven together.
God and I have talked about that. Yeah.
But I think that that's, you know, to me, that's why I love it. So I love this. Not because I worship that one little prayer, and I think it's the prayer of all prayers, even though I will say it's very holy because it's Jesus praying it.
Because Jesus prayed it. Right.
Right. But I think that to me, it's just not only shows me the heart of the Father, but just conversation, just being an intimate conversation with God. Mm-hmm. And don't you think that's missing in prayer?
I just think intimacy is difficult, whether it's in prayer or with other humans, just because it's a vulnerability, you know, it's a risk. And I think that's where, you know, reminding ourselves that it's not a risk with the Lord, because He's already, like it says in Romans, like we can't be separated. Like He's in no matter what. So if you're going to like risk being vulnerable, you know, or intimate with anyone, I think, you know, He's the one to do it with. But that doesn't mean that it comes easy, or it doesn't mean you have to like fight for it. It doesn't mean you have to remind yourself of those things. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think intimacy is lacking. But I think more than that, I think we would have to get honest with ourselves in order to be intimate. We have to be honest with the Lord and ourselves, and we have to get vulnerable and have to take a risk and, you know, and all those things. And sometimes we don't like doing that.
Well, I see that in John 17. I see that in Jesus, in the fact that He's vulnerable. He's saying, I'm about to leave. He's asking. You know, we often don't ask because we're afraid that if we do ask, He's not going to give it to us and we're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But asking is what brings intimacy. Conversation brings intimacy.
Right.
And that's where I think that, you know, is with the prayer. But, you know, I do believe that Jesus, you know, wants us to be honest and real. And that's what I see in John. I just see Jesus being real and honest and talking to the Father and saying, you know, here's what's going on. And we know what's going on. And we see it even more when he gets into Gethsemane and falls into His face and says, you know, let that cup pass from me. But I think that asking, I think part of just really asking, there's a lot of asking that John 17. Of where what Jesus is asking. And I think asking and being real and sharing what you want God to do in somebody's life, that's intimacy.
Right.
I'm going to be vulnerable, like you say, to ask. And you know, to me, just conversation is intimacy, real conversation. I mean, you can quote off, you know, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, but then, I mean, you're actually talking to Him. And that's where I think I see a lot of things. We were watching some movie just the other night, and it was Well, Howard was watching it and I was sleeping through most of it. But it was, you know, about World War II and it's some kind of documentary on World War II.
Oh, gosh, I
don't care.
I'm fall asleep thinking about it.
Well, exactly. And Howard just cannot understand why I don't just get so excited over that. But anyway, I'm like, well, for one thing, this is a war. Another thing, they're all dying and I'm sad. And right before I go to bed. So this is not one of the things I want to think about. But there's these soldiers that literally was, you know, about to be captured and, you know, beaten and all kinds of stuff. And they're quoting the Lord's Prayer. And they have it, you know, on the thing. And this is a true story, by the way. And they're quoting the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not saying that that was an intimate time, but I'm just saying they were just trying to, you know, get their mind, I guess, on that. I think that that's just a little bit different than an intimate conversation. And I think that that's what, you know, that's kind of where I say John 17.
Yeah, for sure. So what do we take from this?
I think that the biggest take on John 17 is that you're not forgotten. You are on the mind of Jesus before the cross, on the cross, why he came, when he died, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, still interceding. I think what we take from this is that to know that there's one thing to be for us to pray for ourselves. It's another thing to call someone else that we think really will pray for you. And it's another to know that Jesus is interceding. And Jesus not only interceded and prayed for you and prayed for me in Gethsemane right before the cross, but he's doing it right now. And I think that for me, that gives me comfort. I don't know exactly what Jesus is saying, but I do know this, that when I'm praying for you and I'm praying for my family and I'm praying for the grandkids, I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for other people, that's one of the things I ask. Jesus, how are you praying about this? Jesus, I know you're interceding for Kara. How are you praying for Kara? And I think that that's one of the biggest takeaway. And what one of the things that we want to know is that when Jesus was praying for you and praying for me is that he wanted to make sure that we knew that he loved us. And I think that's the key. And I would say, you know what? Go write this down. Go take the things that we talked about and go write it down and ask God, God, how do you pray for me? God, what is your will for me? God, what are the words that you're saying on my behalf? And look at John 17. I think you might be just surprised how sweet and intimate God wants to be with you.
Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you could be a part of our conversation. To continue the conversation, you can find Dot on social media at Dot Bowen or visit her website, dotbowen.com. Subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and we will see you next week on Write This Down with Dot Bowen.